Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What do we need to know about the flu? Let's go in-depth with Lacey Dykstra, registered nurse practitioner at the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. So, Lacey, a lot of flu going around this time of year?
Mm-hmm. Yes, lots. We've seen lots in the clinic so far.
More than normal?
This is my first year here in the clinic here, but I would say the other physicians and providers have said yes, way more than normal.
And it seems like it's a tougher than normal, too. Is that right?
It's a little tougher, and it's a little earlier than we usually see the heat of it. Usually the heat of it's a little later in the year.
You know, I hear all of these, tragedies. A lot of kids are really hit hard, and we've had a couple of deaths in Iowa, right?
That's correct, unfortunately. Some of these kids are kids who have gotten the flu vaccine or maybe have not gotten the flu vaccine due to underlying conditions or other things they have going on that their providers have elected not to, or they just haven't gotten it.
Is it my imagination or are people more nervous this year about the flu?
I think people are more nervous because the CDC has said there's more flu out there. So we do see a lot of people in the clinic who do not have the flu, but they have other symptoms, and so they're concerned, and so they present to have those symptoms evaluated.
And the staff has geared up, and you're all ready to go to help anybody with the flu.
Yep. We see those patients as on a as-come basis. We try to fit them into the schedules as best we can. We do have same-day appointments available for patients who may feel like they have those symptoms and want to be tested.
Same-day appointments, that's good. I'm not calling up and, having to go to the emergency room.
Right, or having to wait till tomorrow.
Yeah. All right. Well, that's great. That's great. And so I come in. I've got the flu. I come in.
What do you expect,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, sort of what do I expect, but what do I do? I don't want to give the flu to anybody else. Do
right.
I sit at the other side of the...
Right, exactly.
Other people, what do I do?
We'd like you to come in, and there are masks available in the waiting room, and there's also like a hand sanitizer that can be used. We advise patients who aren't feeling well, regardless if they think they have the flu or not, to wear those. And you might see some of our nurses wearing them as well because they don't want to get sick even if they've gotten the flu vaccine as well. So if we have patients who are sick, we advise them to put those on when they come in the door. And then don't be surprised if you're sick if the nurse or the provider wears a mask in as well. It's completely to be expected.
So maybe I should have walked in and put a mask on.
Maybe if you didn't want to get the flu.
Maybe I should go around outside everywhere I go then with the mask on. I've seen people do that.
I've seen people do that as well. I think it's for people who are high risk or people who are, maybe have cancer or on chemo and are immunosuppressed. Those patients, you may see them wearing a mask all the time. But I think that the healthy average adult or, child wearing one around is maybe not necessary.
What are some of the symptoms of the flu?
Yep, symptoms, fever, it can be headache, sore throat, runny or congested nose. Some people report the first couple days they're having some vomiting or things like that, but really those regular cold symptoms are just extreme, and the fever comes on suddenly, and people have like body aches and pains as well. They just feel like they've been hit by a truck.
Well, why do I have to come in? Why can't I just describe that over the phone and you give... the treatment to my wife or a friend or somebody, can't you do that? That's so painful with the flu to get in.
Yeah, it is. It can be a pain, but we recommend that you're coming in tested to be treated. We really need to see you within the first 48 hours of illness to really be effective with the medications that we give. So it's important that if we're going to treat those patients that they come in when those symptoms present.
Right away.
And it would be a waste of the Tamiflu, which is the medication we use, to just give that to patients we don't know who have the flu.
Is that a prescription?
It is.
So that's why you have to see me. You just
can't
send it home.
That's right.
All right. And does it work?
It takes about 1 to 2 days off the tail end of your illness. So it does shorten the duration of your illness, and it might make your symptoms a little more tolerable. We're also able to help you... each provider can go over each patient, the medications that maybe would make their symptoms less, things they can use over the counter or home remedies that we can use to make ourselves feel better while we're trying to deal with the illness.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the flu with Lacey Dykstra, registered nurse practitioner at the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics. How long is this flu lasting?
Well, we like patients after we see them to be isolated for 5 days, social isolation. So no school, no daycare, no work. They are very contagious, and we want them to finish the medication that we've given them. And then we also want them to be 24 hours fever-free before they're going anywhere. Some patients have come in, and they have thought they've had it, and it's lasted up to a week and a half. So some patients are sick longer than others.
What if I'm just too valuable at work to not go in?
Then you must not think that your coworkers are very valuable.
So none of us are that valuable, are we?
We really need to make sure that we are getting those patients treated, and so that we're not infecting other people as well, and keeping those patients isolated at home.
Don't go anywhere.
No.
All right, that's important because we've sort of got this work ethic that we're going to go and we're going to get it out, and we need it. We're needed, and
we're all needed, but we all need to take care of ourselves so we can do our jobs.
Right, and so other people can do their jobs.
That's right.
All right, and so if you've got a family, you need to worry about who has it and where you're sending them and stuff like that, too.
Yep. So like a child comes in with their mom, and neither one have had the influenza vaccine, and the child ends up having influenza. We tell mom what she should be doing to keep herself from getting it, washing her hands frequently, using hand sanitizer, trying to not let the child sneeze or cough in your face, which as a mom is very difficult, but then to watch for those symptoms of the flu that she might get as well, so she would know when to present to us to be evaluated.
So you said we could wear a mask, but washing our hands a lot helps?
Washing our hands, wearing a mask, keeping your distance from other people who are ill. If your family's ill, don't get together for Christmas. That was the before Christmas talk we were having. If you're sick and you have influenza, you probably shouldn't be getting together at gatherings. Again, social isolation.
So a lot of people, don't go out to basketball games, don't go to church, things like that.
Some people as to avoid getting it?
Well, both, I guess.
I think some people are just being more cautious about how much time they're spending in public, but I don't think that we need to make a drastic change in our social habits unless we know the person we're visiting is ill or unless we ourselves are ill.
We don't have to worry about not sitting too close to somebody at church.
Not necessarily.
If they're coughing and sneezing.
Right. And we each need to get our influenza vaccine if we're able. Our providers can best make that choice about whether we are a good candidate for it or not. Some people with chronic conditions, maybe their providers would say they shouldn't have it, but then they maybe should wear a mask, as we spoke about before. But we would advise, certain age groups and certain people to not get it, but most people to get it.
Is it too late to get a flu shot?
It is not too late to get a flu shot. We would advise people to come in and, get the flu vaccine, and within 2 weeks you have pretty good immunity. So.
And I hear it's not working with every flu, though. Is that right?
It's not working as well as it has in the past, but we would encourage patients to get it because those who do get it, if they do get influenza, generally are having a milder case of influenza.
Okay. And so have a lot of people got their flu shots this year?
A lot of people have, but a lot of people who have not.
And so. There's, rumors out there that flu shots aren't safe and that they don't work, but
they are safe and they do work.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation about the flu with Lacey Dykstra, registered nurse practitioner at the Knoxville Hospital and Clinics.
Anything else that I can do to prevent getting flu?
I think, number one, get your flu shot. Number two, stay away from those who are your family members who might be ill. And number three, good hand washing, good hand hygiene. And if you need to, if you have an illness, please prevent other people from getting it by wearing a mask when you come to see us.
Now, how about the kids? When they get a fever, does that mean they have the flu and we need to bring them in?
No, not necessarily. Kids can get a fever for a number of reasons. They could have ear infection, which we should probably see them for as well. Young children may have a low grade temperature if they're teething. Kids may have fevers because they have a general cold. So there are a lot of reasons that people get a fever, pneumonia, things like that.
Is there any threshold temperature that you want everybody brought in on? Is it 101?
It's different for different age groups, but generally anything over 100.1 we consider to be a fever, so we would want to evaluate them based on how long they've had their fever and whether or not it's been able to be treated with Tylenol, ibuprofen, things of that sort. So when moms call in and they say my child has a fever, we're going to ask those things. When did it start? what are you giving your child, and did Tylenol or ibuprofen, and did either one of those things work, and how are they acting? Are they eating? Are they drinking? Are they having wet diapers or going to the bathroom? Things like that. So.
All right. So what should moms and dads be looking for then? Any of those things that, anything abnormal then?
Right. Anything abnormal that their child's not eating as well, and or their child has those symptoms, the cough, the runny nose, the sore throat, they're just irritable, things of those sorts as well.
Now, what about our older family members? What do we need to watch out for with them?
Fatigue, fever, similar symptoms, but they may not complain of those symptoms until they are sicker. And they do tend to, some of the extreme elderly get sick faster, so we need to kind of keep an eye on the elderly during this time. And again, we would encourage them to get the flu shot if possible, if they're able to get it from their physician.
Okay, so the elderly people that are in different care facilities.
Like a nursing home or
long-term care. It's a real problem there, I bet.
It can be, but generally we try to do widespread vaccines to those who are able to get them in those facilities, as well as vaccinate the healthcare workers so that they're not bringing it in from the outside, from their children or their neighbor, or things like that.
I mean, because it can be really, if you're old and have, you know.
It can be detrimental to your health. It can be fatal.
Mm-hmm. It can. Mm-hmm. And can it, like, let's say, does it team up? I don't know if that's the appropriate word, with things like pneumonia. I mean, mm-hmm. can it lead you to pneumonia?
It can lead those patients to pneumonia. They can have a decreased cough reflex, so they're more likely to get pneumonia in some cases.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important to watch our loved ones.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Our older ones, too. Mm-hmm. Are the younger and the older, are they more susceptible to the flu, or is just everybody equally susceptible?
Anyone's equally susceptible if they're unprotected by the flu vaccine and they're not taking the appropriate precautions. But I think the effects are more, are bigger in those younger. They're very small and the very old.
Let's say I got my flu shot last year. I don't need it this year, do I?
No, you need it every year.
Every year.
As we know, like we talked about before, this year's flu vaccine strain is not protecting us quite as well as what we normally expect. That's because every year the flu vaccine or the flu virus itself changes, and so we have to change the vaccine annually to best figure out which strains of influenza are going to be most prominent and treat those, use those in our vaccine. So that's kind of where every year patients need to get a flu shot.
Do you know how they do that? How they figure out what might be coming our way?
My understanding is that in Asia, when they have the flu virus, we use their virus to make the vaccine, because the flu virus, the new virus, generally starts there first, and then it moves across. So we end up getting it later, and that is used to make our vaccines.
All right, so we know the pattern of how it spreads,
right.
And the large populations might be where the virus mutates, something
that could
like
be.
That.
Mm-hmm.
Any other last things that we need to know about the flu, preventing it?
Please, please, please get your flu vaccine this year and next year and every year after, and wash your hands, watch your loved ones, and be sure that if you are ill and you come in that you wear a mask to protect yourself if you don't have it and anyone else who may be susceptible to getting it.
Thanks to Lacey Dykstra for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.